This is Average Joe's Podcast, delivered by the Topper Taxi. The only way to get home when you're smash-faced.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Average Joe's Podcast.
We can play basketball.
The official podcast of the NCAA.
You want to know what's that? Six grown men playing dodgeball.
From previewing games to talking about the issues, we've got you covered.
Like with those freaks over there in Loser Town, huh?
Now for the stars of our show. Here's your hosts, Zach Newton and Alex Heichelbeck.
Hello, collegiate dodgeball aficionados. I'm Zach Newton.
And I'm Alex Heichelbeck.
You know what that means. It's the Average Joe's Podcast. Yeah. Indeed.
So, big occurrence earlier today.
Huge
occurrence.
Monumental
indeed. We had the start off of our season for Western season, and it was UK's first game as well.
So the first game of the dodgeball season, if my memory serves. And by memory, I mean I don't remember there being any other games this dodgeball season.
I think that's right.
So we got that to cover. We're gonna preview the Kentucky and Wisconsin teams. Don't know how those three are involved together, but we're gonna get to that in a little bit.
Well, we kind of mixed up our states last time. We pulled Ohio in with.
We pulled DePaul in with Ohio, yeah. But I think the whole Kentucky-Wisconsin combination.
We're bringing it back?
They're not romantically involved. Big giant head. Good effort to try to link them.
We're struggling for a connection, but you know how that goes on Average Joe's podcast. So we've got our recap of the game. We were taking a look at those teams. Anything else exciting going on?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Like an interview, maybe?
We are going to talk to Felix Perrone.
Felix Perrone, one of the heroes.
It's Perrone. Perrone.
Yeah. Oh, Felix the Pep Perrone. I forgot about that. So we've got that. And issues, and then issues again in all caps.
We're going to talk about issues. But really, it's not even an issue. We're just going to discuss. We're going to bring Felix into the studio here, and we're going to talk about things we can do to make dodgeball an official sport, you know, or a more recognized sport, I guess, on college campuses and even nationally.
You know the first step, don't you? Stats. Got
to
pull the stats. And
we'll get to stats.
We're compiling the ones from the Western UK game, I believe.
I doubt it. We'll get to stats.
The word of the day, hypocritical.
The word of the day is
hypocritical.
Is actually the phrase of the day is Josh Raymer is a hypocrite. For those of you who don't know, he's Western's, you know, head honcho as far as dodgeball goes. And he's the one that's been blogging about all the stats nonsense. And what does he not do at his game? Stats.
Well, I think it was another thing where in the off season it did sound like a great idea. And now that, I mean, once you see that you've got 30 guys out on the court just winging it around, I think because we even talked about it in between games, I think he even kind of agreed that it's a bit of an overzealous plan so early on.
Well, let the Raymer dream.
All right. Dreams are good.
Dreams are good.
All right, so let's. You ready to get right into this bad boy?
I reckon.
All right, let's start it up. Average Joe's podcast. Here we go.
Did you know Average Joe's is the place where Steve the Pirate gets all his game recaps from?
Yar. Joe's be the only place for Steve.
And we're back like the Cincinnati Bengals to prominence in the AFC North. I'm Zach Newton.
I'm Alex Heichelbeck.
And this is the moment we've all been waiting for.
The recap of the first, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, might be the best game of the season.
This really could have been one of the better games that gets played all season.
I'm not much to toot my own horn, but if you're going to have a first game for the season, that one kind of fulfilled all the requirements. We had two teams, both of which have made some big changes.
Yeah, a lot of overhauls. So, on both sides.
When we went into it, it really could have gone either way. Like, we know that, like, Western, we've made a lot of changes on our team, and it was obvious that Kentucky's team had done from the last time I saw them, at least, a complete 180. Like, it was amazing.
They'd really picked up quite a lot from the Battle of the Bluegrass, you know, from that team. You could see it. And I think that, I mean, just the way they played, the way they kept their composure after getting down 2-0, I think had a lot to do with it. But I think when you look at this game, though, I think in those 2 points, Kentucky keeping their composure helped, but I think Western kind of lost some of the team aesthetic that they showed off early.
It's one of those things where we started out doing so well. I mean, the first round, in my opinion, I think that was the best round we played the whole time. And oh, well, for the people that couldn't make it down to the lovely Bowling Green, Kentucky, the sequence this game kind of went through, we obviously only played one game, WKU against Kentucky. The first two rounds, well, the first half, I believe we got three games in.
Yes.
The first two rounds went to Western. The third round went to University of Kentucky. We had a nice short little halftime.
And some then giveaways the, for the kids. We gave away.
It was
a Zach Newton autographed NCAA regulation dodgeball that was actually popped during the first half when two balls collided in midair.
It was a doozy. But I want to hear a little more specifics about that because I didn't get to see it later on. And then, so second half, a little bit slower game. I think everyone was playing a little bit more on the defensive. Went into the second half, Western with 2 points, University of Kentucky with one. University of Kentucky had what I thought was probably maybe the best round they played, their first win. Second half, and so that tied it all up. Last round of actual official play ended in a, was it a draw? What would you call it? A draw, I guess. Time ran out on that one, and so we went into overtime, and that's where I think Western really, really pulled it out. There.
Well, I think that, and
for Raymer, the win, that is.
Raymer talked about this in the game recap that's on the website. The crowd in the Preston Health and Activity Center just really kind of exploded.
It was. And I have to say,
I mean, they'd had a pretty clear and obvious presence, you know, all throughout the game, but I think that overtime period, you know, they got up. You might be able to see it in some of the videos when they're uploaded. You'll be able to hear it for sure because it's all you can hear in the overtime.
Seeing a bunch of parents start up a TOPS, 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 cheers, a big one. But before we move on, there's not a whole lot of people in the studio here, but I would like to have a brief round of applause for you, Mr. Newton, because your announcing, I think, is what really pulled the crowd into it. So,
you know, I just go out there. You know, I just wake up.
Hey, let's try to keep that ego down.
I piss excellence. I mean, that's just what I do.
There goes that
ego. You know
what?
But you know what? There's not that many people in the studio. But I want to give you, Mr. Alex, not as fat as Raymer is, old Heichelbeck. I want to give you a round of applause for really being, you know. Alex,
you just made my day.
A lot of people say that Alex Heichelbeck, he's not really that much of a dodgeball player, and I beg to differ. That man, this man right here, my cohort, my compatriot, my partner in crime, is a survivor. Okay, he held out for a solid probably minute against six of UK's better throwers, and you know, I mean, that to do that, to keep your head on a swivel. Because when you're out there in the mess, you know, when you're down there in the heat of battle, to keep your head on a swivel like Alex did is just really impressive. So let's...
I've said it before. I know I'm not much of a thrower, so which is why in our team roster I'm in as a blocker, and I think I do an okay job there, and I actually spend a lot of my time just making sure that we've our big throwers have the balls they need. But... I mean, you know, it felt good. It felt good to know that, you know, I played a pretty crucial role in that one. So it made me feel good. A
couple other standout performances we like to talk about. Zach Byrne, when you see the highlight video, you'll see this.
The headshots heard around the world.
Two absolutely monstrous headshots.
The big giant head is actually simulating what it looked like by pulling a shirt up over his head. I guess insinuating that Zach took their heads off.
He really... The
fact
the
that there were no
one,
concussions there,
the
f- yeah,
the
stunning.
The first kill of the NCAA 2009-2010 season is a Zach Byrne headshot. It's
5 seconds in...
Literally five seconds into the game. Dude just takes a ball to the
straight, straight off the run, someone tosses one back to the line, it gets cleared straight up to him, he sights someone in, and before the teams can even get their bearings... He just wings it and just knocked that guy, which I have to admit, if I got hit that hard, I would probably ask to sit out next round. He hits, but I mean, we actually had quite a few headshots in these rounds, and every single one they took it, got off the court, and were right back on. Sometimes pretty soon because. Catches. Good Lord, the catches.
A lot of catches in this game. A lot of big catches. Greg Palmieri from UK had, I think, probably the best point UK played, probably had 5 or 6 catches. I mean, dude, if put his hands on the ball, I mean, he brought it in.
Yeah, I remember in rounds hearing people on our team yelling, do not throw it to.
Yeah.
Because he would sit on that back court line, and if one came anywhere close to him, he had his hands on it.
And I think the game breaking plays in the film, and you can judge this one for yourselves when you see the film. Now, from my angle at the press table, Bryce Robinson for Kentucky, he made a pretty spectacular attempt at a diving catch on a ball that I think he tipped up or it bounced off him in a weird way. He makes a catch. Now, in the tape where you'll see, and from where I was, it looks like the ball hits the ground. Now, he claims the catch, but it gets overturned by the official. Now, I think that play, whether, you know, because we don't have the luxury of replay in college dodgeball. And John Handelman, the official that made the call there, I he made what he saw as the best call he could make. I think it was a fair call.
And I got to say, while you're on that, the referees today, I know at the beginning, were actually pretty worried because neither of them had refereed dodgeball before. And I mean, anyone that's played knows there are a lot of rules, a lot of complicated rules. And there's so many things to watch for when you got 30 guys on the court. But
yeah,
I thought they did a pretty good job. We had some problems early on. They did a great job. I know at halftime they pulled both the captains together and they pretty much said, what do we need to watch out for? What is it that we need to keep up with? So for their first time, yeah, I'd say
round of applause
for them. Excellent job to those two. And it just further shows that we got a ways to go before we can get the whole officiating thing figured
out. But it went well. I think the big players in this game, not just Zach Byrne, but I think there were two freshmen from Western that played huge. And I think that when you go out and start your recruiting efforts, I think, and you look for freshmen that have potential.
We're not talking about the big man with the snake throw, are we?
Oh, we are talking about the big man with the snake throw. Bill Banks.
It is a thing of beauty.
I mean, you can't miss him because he's built like a Mack truck hauling a 2-ton trailer. I mean, he's ginormous. And when you see the video,
he played with those gauges in the whole time.
Yeah, kept his gauges in.
Looked like a Maori warrior just straight out on the court.
Threw his Jordans on and just took Kentucky to church all afternoon. I mean, the guy throwing just huge, he's cooking with gas, Alex. I mean, you know, you don't get a freshman that just comes in and just has he's just got like the, you know, you can smell the game. He's like a shark circling.
And he's one of the ones where you can really tell he kind of gets that bloodlust going.
Oh, yeah.
Because I noticed you'd watch in the games at the beginning, he'd maybe start out kind of in the back, but as soon as he gets a ball in his hand and makes a good throw, from then on out, if someone's holding on to a ball and he doesn't feel like you're making a throw, he'll come up and say, "Give me that ball."
Yeah, I mean,
you can see it if you watch the video, which I think we got a pretty good. I think the video was pretty good this
time.
Like
to thank the videographer. Yeah,
you should definitely check this one out because it's a good. You get a good display from both teams, but if you watch his throws, I mean, his arm whips out like some kind of snake.
It's real peculiar. And I think the other, Colby Osborne, a freshman out of Nashville for Western, went to Father Ryan High School. Good kid. Fiji, fraternity brother of mine. Hey, you watch your mouth.
Sorry, sir.
You're about to join the Tom Brady list. You better.
I don't want to be anywhere. Is that still on, by the way?
That's still on.
Has he answered?
We'll get to that.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Colby Osborne is a freshman. He played really big in overtime, had a couple of big kills. But I think it's, you know, finding freshmen like that, Raymer's really hit the recruiting jackpot with these two.
And I know there's a couple people on the team that he's been working on for a year now. Like, it's taken him,
Nick Nyman.
Nick Nyman. It has taken, I mean, Jazzy stayed on him for a full year. And I mean, it has paid off.
When you watch this highlight tape, Nick Nyman just looks like a mountain goat.
What's his number again?
So, he's wearing number 10.
Number 10, and then Bill is number...
Bill's number 3, and Colby is 17, I believe.
So watch those.
But Nick Nyman, I mean, he had at least throughout the whole game and the regular, probably 10, 15 kills. I mean, dude is just lights out throwing a dodgeball. Mm-hmm. You know, and he never, like, if you watch the game, like, his throws don't soften at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and
he does have the arm that just doesn't tire.
Yeah, he's got that rubber.
I mean, I made maybe five throws, and my shoulder's sore. And all those were really crappy throws.
Yeah, but Nick just goes out there and just, I mean, big catches in overtime. You know, and I blame that on him being from Colorado. You know, that Rocky
where
Mountain.
The altitude.
That Rocky Mountain. You know,
he's got rich blood in him. There's a high O2 set in that blood. But I got to say, I think we can agree on this. I think everyone in this room, everyone in the state could agree on this. The MVP for that game, without a doubt,
Luke Gillum.
Luke Gillum. Luke, I mean, the sideline assassin. What else do you need?
Well, Luke and Tom Schatzinger, the Asian sensation himself, they both they pretty much reinvented the sideline assassin position in this game. The overtime period, you see Tom make a dodge and then get a ball on like a rebound and come right back up and just drill a guy like point blank. It's right in front of the press table. It's beautiful. I mean, just really well, and he just comes out of nowhere. And then you watch the last, the very last kill, the kill that wins the game for Western. You just see, you see Luke just crouch on the sidelines, just wait, and the guy throws, and he just pegs him right in the ankle. It's beautiful, just right off the Achilles tendon.
And
I mean,
they do an excellent job with that. And the thing that really gets me, and I've especially seen it this game, is how incredibly frustrated people are when they get caught by someone that's hiding on the sidelines. I mean, I know one guy in particular, he got slammed, and he immediately started saying that we needed to pull our guys on the sideline farther back so that he couldn't hide in there. And, I mean, we said, you know, that's how it was set up. They were standing in the same spot. But, I mean, it is frustrating getting nailed by one of those sleepers.
Well, the thing about Luke, though, is Luke was, you know, whether he was on the near sideline where the team was or the far sideline, you know, it didn't matter. Like, the throws weren't getting to him. He wasn't, you know, he was really just fine. He's like a snake.
When they did tack on him, at least two, I know, just amazing catches. There was one where
Luke had a great catch.
He had made a throw, and if we had a slow-mo replay, this would be my play of the game. He had made a throw from the right-hand sideline, hit someone, and while still in the middle of that forward momentum and that follow-through, made a catch.
And he makes the catch well. Like, he throws and then immediately starts backpedaling and makes a catch. Almost goes down, I think.
Mm-hmm. He kind of stumbles backwards. But does he go down?
No, he doesn't.
No, you cannot knock Luke Gilliam
down. Luke Gilliam could be one of the best up-and-coming players in dodgeball. You might not have heard of him yet, but in a year, if not by the end of this year, after you watch his highlight tape, you will know who Luke Gilliam is.
Good attitude, too. I never really see him. He gets frustrated. I mean, we know he gets worn out. And I think after one of those rounds, he went up to Josh. Was it Luke that one round?
I believe that.
Went up to Josh and just said, Josh, I got to sit one out. But that's because he put so much into it.
Oh, Luke is the kind of guy that leaves his heart and soul on the floor.
And a couple other things as well.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, the like blood, some, the sweat some, and tears. And the.
I was thinking like some opposing teams.
Just some business.
Leaves their business on the floor, is what he does.
Speaking of business on the floor, there was not a crotch shot in today's game, I don't believe. Was there? Big giant head? Can you give me some information on that? I didn't see a really thorough one. The headshot's
definitely far outweighed. If you were to open up the video of the game, watch it all the way through, you could tell a headshot just from the sound of the crowd. The crowd goes ecstatic for
the Western kids. Just loved the domings. If you go through and watch it, Burns' second headshot is one of the nastiest things I've ever seen.
Is that the one where the guy's backpedaling? And he just can't get away from it.
There's nowhere he could go to get out of the way. It is a septum-seeking missile, that dodgeball. That ball was going to hit him whether he tried to get out of the way or not, and he couldn't fast enough. Zach Burns just rockets one. That's my play of the game.
All right.
Is Burns' second headshot, because that is the kind of play that dodgeball fans love.
he was playing towards the fans, yes.
He was catering. He was pandering to the crowd.
To the masses. That one. Got the hot meat, or the Yaks meat and hot wine for the crowd, making them happy. And now, I got to say, we've been talking a lot about Western strong points. Obviously, we are slightly biased.
It happens.
But I have to say, and I know we kind of mentioned it earlier, I think that Western would have won all four of those games if it were not for the exceptional catching that UAK has. The fact that we won the first two games, I think we went downhill because we got cocky, as will happen with any team. And then you saw people from Western's team making throws, not even from the other side of the neutral zone, but literally from the middle of the court, while they had guys on the back line. And they did a really good job of sending one or two guys forward to the line, just enough to have Western chase them.
Yeah.
And by the time Western gets into throwing position, they're on the back line, ready to go. And, I mean, the most that I counted in one game was that I saw what were five catches.
Greg
in
Cormier
one game
for Kentucky, wore jersey number 2, is just lights out, just making catches. You can see it. I don't know how good the angle is in that point as far as him making catches, but you can see him just all over the court. And when you've got a guy with hands like that, you know, it's easy to, you know, one catch is, you know, it's a two-man swing. And, I mean, you get five catches,
But he wasn't the only one. I mean,
he was not the only one. But
I definitely think that they play a much better catching game than Western has ever, in my opinion. That's the one thing that I feel is our big weakness. You'll hear, when Western gets down, it seems like we, for the most part, tend to stay down.
It's a lot harder for a team to rally when you don't have a hands guy. We have our one big hands guy,
and I can't do names at all. Our one big catcher. It's killing me.
I couldn't. I don't know. But either way, you got a. The big giant head is being worthless right now. Yeah,
our big catcher.
It's sad that.
Malcolm?
Malcolm Lunsford is a sophomore.
Wade Gibson.
Wade.
I'm sorry, Wade. Made a lot of catches. I'm sure you don't listen to this, but.
Malcolm, I'm sorry.
Wade seems to make these catches where it's coming at him and you're just thinking, like, you know, he's going to have to get out of the way. And he just seems to just catch it center mass and. He is probably one of the best catchers on our team.
You had a couple of really also solid throwers from UK too. I mean,
I know for a fact the first, because as I said earlier, I'm a blocker. The first block I made in that first round was from number 17 on their team,
Ryan Brady,
and it was coming at me, and I put a ball out to block it. Skimmed off the top of the ball down my arm, and I had a red streak along the top of my arm for the rest of the game. He put some chutzpah on that.
Oh, yeah. He and Bryce Robinson, the senior, the guy with the really controversial catch in the extra frame, you know, they're both really, really fantastic throwing the ball. Both of them are seniors, though, so it's going to be really interesting this year's Kentucky has a really young team to see who's going to start stepping up. Because, I mean, even with that senior leadership, you know, especially, you know, like in overtime when you're – and Western, I think, could have one of the – just the meanest home crowds anywhere in dodgeball. And I think if you're going to have to come to Western, you're going to have to beat 16 men on a dodgeball court, 15 of them throwing balls at you, and the crowd just yelling their heads off. And I think that home environment, that's where a team like UK that's so young, most college dodgeballers probably haven't experienced a crowd that hostile anyway. But when you're young and there's 150 just rabid Western fans just – I mean, it was almost reminiscent of – you know, I think the Preston Health and Activity Center could be like the Cameron Indoor Stadium of dodgeball. Because even – it's a big open gym, you know, but it got real loud. It was really loud. Like, I was struggling. Like, I mean, the PA system was under the table I'm sitting at. I was struggling to hear myself.
But that's a good thing. I mean, when you can get the crowd whipped up enough to where they're feeling like getting into it, it's great to see. And I feel like this was, on that point, we actually, the first run at the overtime, you kind of sort of hear the whistle. And there's a false start called because the crowd was being so loud that we couldn't hear the ref's count. And I believe they ended up coming over and using the microphone.
Yeah, he came over and grabbed the microphone and whistled through the mic.
Which is
so
amazing.
So you could hear it over the crowd. And, I mean, when you watch the highlight video, that overtime is especially – that could be one of the better points that's played all year in dodgeball. This could be one of the best games that's played all year in dodgeball.
I feel like for the 2 points that we gave away to UK, and I'm not trying to put their team down. They did an excellent job. But I feel like the first one especially was a lot of us feeling like, oh, you know, two in a row. We got really cocky, and the one thing that they did leaps and bounds better than us was working as a team. To the best of my knowledge, obviously I was in the game, so I should probably know, I didn't see a good team throw from Western the entire game. It got down at one point, I believe it was for our second point that we won. UK had one person back in, or one person left in, I think we had four or five, and we didn't have a group throw on that one guy. So they ended up just getting him. I think they just kind of tired him out. But it was really upsetting to see how quickly it turns into an individual game for Western.
So I think that you know that's one thing they need to work on. But we've about run this game into the ground.
But I feel like this one deserved the time we gave it. I feel like we've covered. If I hadn't gone to the game, I think I would feel pretty informed right now.
Yeah, it was definitely...
Granted, the only people that listen to this are mostly the people from Western that played in the game.
But whatever. You know what? I hope you guys enjoyed the recap. Hopefully, as more games come in and we get, you know, we get some information coming, we'll be able to do, you know, we'll be able to talk as much about the Saginaw Grand Valley game, which I'm excited about.
If someone at another team can have someone that can put together a little written recap of a game, we would love to give a quick recap on the air. Instead of just going over scores and points, maybe give us some good plays. We can run through those, I think. Can we run through those, Big Head? Up and down, you know what that means.
It means, yes, that's your final score from Bowling Green today. Western Kentucky 3, the University of Kentucky 2 in overtime. This is the Average Joe's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And now your game time preview.
Well, at least that wasn't weird.
And we're back.
Again.
Like always. Joined in the studio, and it's really not even a studio. Who are we? It's Raymer's basement.
We still haven't worked ourselves back up to the kitchen. We've been officially banned
Mama
from the kitchen.
Mama Raymer still got us in the old Raymer cave. Yeah, down here. But
Raymer man cave.
There is still an Optimus Prime bobblehead, so it's not as gay as it could be down here, but it's all right. You know.
So I know we mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to go through it real quick, maybe 30 seconds tops. Tom Brady.
Let me tell you about Tom Brady today. Tom Brady today actually proved that he might have a little hair on his testicles. All right, it's snowing in Foxborough, and he just dropped like a fat deuce all over the Tennessee defense. I mean, dear God, you know the Titans lost two starters from last year. They lost Albert Haynesworth and Robert Cairns, the wide receiver. So they lost one guy on either side of the ball, and they went from 3 points, losing by 3 points in the divisional playoffs, to losing by 59 in week 6. Okay, Tom Brady literally just took his penis out and set it down on the foreheads of the Titans defense today, all second quarter long.
So was it on the helmets or just bare skin?
Just right on their foreheads.
He was using it to stir the Gatorade.
He stirred the Gatorade badges with his apparently today enormous penis.
It's like one of those monsters where one day out of the year it comes into our universe and just causes havoc.
Tom Brady's penis hit us like the dredge in Titan AE. It was just pure energy.
Oh my god.
Like the 38 minutes of football he was on the field.
Did you really just pull Titan AE into this podcast?
It's on HBO 2 like every day. I've literally watched that movie 4 times this weekend.
It in, like the trench. I'm going to go ahead and stop the Tom Brady conversation right there.
No, for this week, Tom Brady, I am not going to fight you. But you better believe that
next week.
But you better believe that next week when you have an average game again, like you normally do, I'm going to beat the cat piss out of you.
Oh, you have just single-handedly made my week, my friend.
Wisconsin Platteville.
Back to business.
Possibly the most underrated team in dodgeball.
Oh, my God.
Came out of nowhere at Nashville last year and beat Western and then sang My Girl with them. Now, clearly this indicates two things. Nobody knew who they were, what they were doing, or why they were doing it, but they certainly were. And second, it indicates that they're a pretty good group of dudes. And I feel like that's just as important as being good dodgeballers. You know, they have some very good players. I mean, they beat Western. They're very dedicated to travel from Wisconsin.
Yeah, from effing Wisconsin, I believe, is the way that the Big Ten put it. And, I mean, that is dedication. And I'm kind of upset that I couldn't make it to this. And, wow, they couldn't make it to a tournament because of 15 feet of snow.
But I'm sure it would take... I'm sure if it had been 14 feet,
yeah,
8
see,
inches...
14-11 is what they can shovel.
14-11, right, they'd have been there, but 15 feet, can't do it.
Yeah, the
Titans' defense looked like they were playing under about 15 feet of snow.
15 feet of Tom Brady's...
15 feet of Tom Brady's nutsack on their forehead. God,
such... the best part of my week.
But...
very dedicated to travel, and I mean, they from what I've heard, what was the score when they beat the tar out of us? 7-1.
7-1 over the Western Hilltoppers.
Is there a skunk rule in college dodgeball? Do you just keep bending over and taking it the way you will?
Keep bending over and taking it the way you will. I think, though, the best thing about Wisconsin Platteville...
Oh, this is a big one.
They're like the Oregon Ducks of college dodgeball. Dude, these jerseys...
Just for the record, since we started this podcast, I haven't understood a single one of your sports references. ever. That's every fine. Single one of them that's has fine. Gone way over my head.
The Oregon Ducks of college dodgeball.
I'm guessing just, the Oregon Ducks have going for
just,
them.
What just this jersey team combination going. After jersey combination. You know, it's blue.
Picture this, if you will.
It's blue. It's white. It's orange. It literally. I don't know if you noticed like a troll this. Doll I don't know if you exploded. This. I love it.
Shirt, blue with white accent. No, nothing really crazy about that. Pants. Orange, neon orange with white accent. Now, for those of you who aren't much into art, those are what we call contrasting colors, meaning on the color wheel, direct opposites.
I like
now,
it.
To make it even better, the orange and blue, Chuck Taylors.
Kicking it old school now, for the homies.
Now, that, I mean, I don't think I could play them.
I feel like
we look pretty professional, but at the same time, I feel like we look like you know, middle school basketball team all coming out in our white.
Yeah, and your red shorts. Yeah, but your shoes don't match.
My shoes did. I had a.
I mean, like you don't have a team shoe. I think that's something.
My shoes match, and that's all that matters.
Well, your shoes are dumb.
Yeah, they are. I got them at Zappos for $2.25. That's not the point, though. In addition to them being good guys, being dedicated, and obviously being one heck of a team, if they can beat the powerhouse that is Western,
I hope you picked up on the snazzy looking
snappy dressers. And I would put good fashion sense over knowledge of fundamentals 9 times out of 10.
Absolutely. The only reason Oregon is competitive in the Pac-10 is because you never know what color they're going to wear next.
Once again, way up here, right over the head.
Alex's head.
But I'm going to go ahead and just nod my head like I know what you're talking about.
That's perfectly acceptable.
And I realized this was kind of a short what to look forward to. Well, this wasn't even our what to look forward to, was it?
No, this was, yeah, whatever.
All right. I'm just going to call this the combination Brady time, Wisconsin-Platteville moment. Right, season preview. It's going to be kind of hard to do our season preview for most of the other teams, mostly because we didn't really plan this podcast. But what are you feeling for University of Kentucky?
Well, I think the UK guys need to focus really just on building on what they've already got. They've got good throwers. They've got great handsmen. They need to work on defense a little more.
No, I would disagree. I think offense. Their defense is what won them that game, being able to goad Western into playing up to that line. They had a couple of good rushes, but just like Western, they never really had a big simultaneous throw. Even when I was sitting back in that corner just praying to God the round would be over, I still never had more than two of the maybe five or six guys that were in thrown at me at once. So,
well, when I say defense too, I mean they're blocking. It seemed like that when mm-hmm. they when they did have guys forward, you can see this in the overtime especially, when they would bring guys forward, because, you know, in the overtime when it's a sudden death situation, you've got to attack, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they could attack really effectively, but then they didn't have guys blocking. Like, you had, you know, Adam Martin, as uncoordinated as he is off the dodgeball court, when he's on there and you put a kickball in his hand, he will knock down any and every throw that it's possible for him to get a ball on.
He will.
I mean, he was everywhere today. And you know, that I think is what UK needs to work on.
And
is being able to protect the big arms, like your Bryce Robinsons and your Ryan Brady's. Just, you know, you got to be able to protect those guys. You know, having a good offensive line is really important in football. Having good blockers is really important.
Have to watch Titan AE now.
Really important to having a good dodgeball team.
And I think we kind of covered it earlier, WKU. We've got a lot of really strong guys. I think Josh Raymer and Felix, the Pep Peroni, have done an excellent job kind of putting people where they need to be. But, you really just can't feel the teamwork there. I mean, they're doing good. And, I mean, when someone makes a score, the team celebrates, but you just don't feel like they're working together. I feel like everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing, but doesn't do a good job working it in with everyone else. So I think we need to definitely watch. We had a lot of times people running forward by themselves. No blockers, no one there to cover for them. I feel like we played a pretty sloppy game.
I think that Western has... Right now, that you're right, that their biggest struggle is that team ideal. I think that you have guys who are immensely talented, you know, guys like your Matt Parsons and your Kyle Dahls and your Felix Peronis. You've got these guys that, and Bill, you know, Banks, all these guys, you know, that are just really talented
I believe
individuals.
You made the connection to the NBA, I believe?
Yeah, they, it looks a lot like an NBA team where every guy's just out there, you know, he's like, man, I'm just trying to do me. You know, he's not really concerned about...
I got this new line of bubble gum coming out, so I got to score a dunk, and they'll call it LeBron's pink lemonade double bubble slam or whatever.
Exactly.
I got you.
See,
I got
you. You know, everybody's...
But we ain't got no bubble gum. You know, we ain't got no like Kyle Dahl Big League Chew. There's none of that.
There's no... There's no
I just picked his name out because
there's no Gatorade Raisin Redhead Punch. Okay? It's not... It's not a real thing. You know, but I mean, not to pick... I love
You're
Kyle.
You're a mean, mean Kyle's person.
Little Kyle. He's just precious. He's a little stupid, but he's just precious. I love him. I love him. His dad's probably not happy with him. Dr. Dahl, if you ever hear this, Kyle misidentified the humerus bone today when talking about where a guy on UK's team got hit. I just thought you should know.
This is what we've come to.
It's just narking
in this
on Kyle.
Podcast, we've established the many uses for Tom Brady's visible genitalia, and we've started railing on people. And the Titan 80 thing, which I still just can't get over.
Nothing.
Wait,
really
hold
good.
On. Message in the big head. Good job. Wrap it up. You know what that means.
That means it's probably time to call it a deal.
Time to cover it in paper. Top it with a bow.
Send it on its way. It's the Average Joe's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And now a public service announcement from Average Joe's podcast.
Hi, sports fans. Zach Newton here, your friendly podcast host. This holiday season, when you're on the roads with your children in the car, just remember one thing. Texting and driving is dangerous. You know what? Why don't you get your texting out of the way first, and then go driving? Do the same with your drinking. And always remember, forsake women and accrue currency.
And now you know, and knowing's half the battle.
Now it's time to reach out to our listeners.
Line up, ladies! The only thing in this room bigger than my massive is how bad I want to finish this up and go home. So it's time for the interview portion of the podcast.
Thank God. We have been trying to get this interview ironed out for 20 minutes now.
Literally 20 minutes.
We hit an impasse every time where you want to say something that is not allowed to be said on the airwaves.
I've been a total drama queen for the last 20 minutes, and Raymer's right. We just want to go to bed.
Is that game fuel coming back?
I really hope that registered on the microphone, because that was a pretty solid
one. That one registered on the Richter scale, my
good.
Friend. I felt that one through the
camera. Oh, that smells
so
awful.
So, I don't know if you noticed, Zach, but we are currently sitting 3 deep on the couch in the man cave.
We're joined by possibly one of the brightest stars in the future of dodgeball. He is Felix Peroni. Felix, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good to hear. It's good to hear. So, the game today, just in 2 words, how would you describe the game today?
Effing awesome.
Effing awesome. I like it. Zach, why aren't we talking to Mr. Felix?
Well, Felix is he's the captain in waiting at Western Kentucky University. As we all know, Raymer's nearly prehistoric behind, eventually will graduate from college, hopefully move out of his parents' house, probably not. Maybe find himself a real job somewhere, probably
he's
not.
He's going to regret not letting
probably going to wind up homeless and die alone. But before,
on a side note, your old house is wonderful, by the way. It's a beautiful house.
Yeah, your parents do a great job. And you constantly do whatever you can to just ruin it. But Felix here... Prior to that whole Raymer dying alone in like a pool of his own tears and blood and urine, we'll graduate from college, maybe. And then Felix here will take over the dodgeball team.
And you're probably still going to have to put up with me and Zach for at least a semester.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you're ecstatic.
You say that now. Look at Raymer. Look at him.
So, Felix, tell us how you...
Oh, I can see the hair falling out of his head.
Tell us how you got the captain in waiting job.
Showed up to the first practice, and I told Josh that I had actually been the captain of our high school's team back in the day, and he nearly jizzed in his pants.
So you hear that, guys?
Jizz in my pants.
So the trick is brown nosing.
It got me ahead.
You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
Just kiss as much ass as possible, kids. That's really the moral.
That's how you get ahead in life.
Of the Felix Peroni story. It's just brown nose... And
you got to get all up in that business.
Exactly. That's what
well we're... put, Mr. Perone. So, what kind of things? Obviously, I mean this from the base of my heart. Josh Reimer's done an exceptional job. I think we can agree on that.
Nah,
yes.
Well,
okay.
I guess
we don't need to hear from you, Zach.
He's done all right. I wouldn't use the word exceptional.
I think he's done exceptional. So he's got a pretty good setup for you. What are you going to do to kind of keep that momentum going?
I'm just going to do that. I'm going to keep basically the same principles that he's had for the last couple of years and transfer them over, and I will pass them down to another little Felix.
Wonderful. Oh, you're going to have kids? That's
I will.
Great.
Yeah.
That is
great, buddy. So what, you and Raymer, while having many things in common, your love of dodgeball, are very different people. Do you think your playing style and the way you coach the team and the kind of dodgeball you play will be different from the one you play now?
Let me go ahead and jump in here real quick, because most people don't know about Josh Raymer's playing style. Now, if you watch a game, you might look at Josh Raymer and be like, who is that man with a massive head standing on the back of the court and occasionally yelling at people? And it seems like, you know, he's kind of like he's not really contributing much, but he is what in, you know, classical terms you would call a general that leads from the rear. He's constantly watching, he's telling people where they need to be, what they need to do, and usually yelling out in a not, and sometimes in not so nice terms, what his team needs to do to win the game.
Josh Raymer's kind of the Jackie Moon of college
see
dodgeball.
I can follow that kind of sport reference.
He's essentially worthless on the court, except for in crunch time situations, game winning free throws, you name it, Raymer's got it. He's not going to do a whole lot for you.
You work
but,
in words like an oil worker, like a painter
just,
works in oil.
He's just. But he's a great leader.
So
for
so
as much of a piece of trash as he is.
anyone that's ever played with or against Felix knows that Felix is a very active player. I mean, his playing style is a very, I guess, an aerial playing style. You spend a lot of time up in the air.
Anytime a ball comes in my direction, I am 10 feet in the air.
He is. He's like a some kind of coiled spring, like a Tigger. That was a terrible... myself there.
Not only did you date yourself, I really think you might have outed yourself as well with that reference.
Yeah,
room full of four grown men in front of a giant RCA HD TV with DLP and you say Tigger. Like, we were in the most masculine environment in the world. We may have just painted the damn walls with rainbows.
Pack up this laptop and leave.
Just pack it up, call your boyfriend Mike, and just get the hell out of town. That's really all you can do now. Felix.
Oh, man. Terrible, terrible decision there. But anyways, back to you, Felix, because this isn't about me and my coming out. This is about you and your coming out as the future captain of Western. So, how are you? I know one of the things that Josh has really done an excellent job on is recruiting. And I know that that's probably, you know, we've talked about that before. What kind of things are you going to do in recruiting to keep Western's team as strong as they are?
I will continue the tradition of doing booths at recruitment fairs for the sports club that our school has. I will be posting flyers throughout campus. And Facebook is the single most important in recruiting tool there is.
Mm-hmm.
It reaches everybody there is in college.
So it does.
So you think Web 2.0, Facebook, and all
it
that
is.
Stuff.
It
YouTube,
really is.
I think, is another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, our videos, especially this season, if everybody does participate in Jazzy's plan by posting videos, it should be pretty boss.
I definitely agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, no, I don't really have anything there. I was about to ask a question I realized we already addressed earlier. I really got shut down there. Like, I'm having a hard trouble putting thoughts together. And that's a nice one there. I like that. I'm having a hard time putting thoughts together. So, I mean, what would your... I mean, obviously, you're...
I'm a sophomore.
Sophomore, so you've got, God willing, two more years. But who knows? You might be the underachieving type. You might have another 3 years left to go. Where do you see Western's dodgeball team being in 3 years? Because I know that sometimes jokingly we've kind of said that we want to, you know, we want to be the next... You know, we want Kentucky to be the next, you know, Michigan. Too many states start with M. I think there's 8 of them. We want to be the next Michigan. So do you see that happening in your? There's 8 of them, and there's 8 that start with N as well. Do you see us actually maybe achieving that goal sometime in your?
I really do. Next season will be the season to watch for WKU dodgeball,
and I believe Kentucky as well.
Yes.
So I think we can make it happen.
I certainly agree. I think Raymer God love him, because nobody else does, has brought in some fantastic recruits this year.
See, that's what I mean. What are we going to do when we have a captain that's actually not ugly as sin? Like,
yeah, Felix, you're pretty popular with the ladies, aren't you?
He is.
I am.
You're no George Clooney, but you are a handsome fella.
And Raymer's clinging on to that one girl like she's a lifeline. You better not let go of her. You better not let go of her. You will.
Raymer,
die.
You blow it with Allie. You may as well just go ahead and throw yourself off a precipice, bud.
Allie's a cutie, though.
Allie is adorable.
And she is, and at every game, she's there and she cheers. And in all seriousness, buddy, you've hooked a winner.
You have picked a winner.
But I swear to God, if that fish gets off the line, you're going to be stuck back in the minors fishing for bluegill in a pond in your backyard.
Raymer, here's why Allie is fantastic for you. Because I don't think she's totally caught on to what a complete and total dork that you actually are.
Captain of the dodgeball team.
Grown man lives in his parents' basement.
This is what I'm talking about. Up until this segment, I thought this podcast had been probably the best one we've done yet.
And
we
try
to have an interview with Felix the Pep Peroni, and it turns into Raymer bashing, but he's taking it like a champ. As soon as the mic goes off, there will be a maelstrom of
lasciviousness.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a snort, yes.
Just an evening of debauchery will likely
So, take. Basically, the point we're trying to get across in this completely, I can't even think of a word to describe it, interview is, it is incredibly important for the longevity of a team to have a plan like this. I mean, teams like University of Louisville, which I know had what I thought was a really good team working last year, their kind of leadership got a little sidetracked, and right now I know that our good friend Benjamin Subcheck is really struggling to keep that team afloat. And I mean, best of luck to him. I think especially coming down and seeing this tournament has really kind of got him pumped back up. So Ben, I know you're listening to this. You better. Best of luck with that. I mean, if there's any way we can help, if we need to come up there and show you all how to play some real dodgeball, not that sissy crap you're probably teaching them, you just let us know, man. So, Felix, you more than anyone can tell them, why is it important to have someone to take over the reins?
Well, if you look over the history, like Delta and Marshall, University of Nebraska, all those teams have fell through because of lack of leadership. You have to assign somebody. Raymer had it well. He assigned me his junior year, so I had 2 years to watch him and kind of learn before I took over. So my junior year, I will also pick a protege or little Felix or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I will teach them the ropes, and they will lead with a iron fist.
Wonderful. That's what we want. We want to bring that Bolshevik style leadership back in there. Decimation and such. Zach, you've been kind of quiet. Let's go. Anything else you want to throw in before we sign off for the day?
Felix, how boring is your roommate?
Oh my God.
I think that pretty much covers it. So we're going to have to run through this part pretty quick. Zach, what are you doing tonight?
What am I doing tonight? Well, pretty simple. Probably going to go home and take a couple of Lunesta and see if I can get a nut before I go to sleep.
Perfect. He's poised in this chair like he's just been shot. Josh Raymer, more irritated than I've seen in a week. But realizing we can't do this segment again because we're too far in.
And see, what happens there is you win either way. Because you either finish or you fall asleep.
I, on the other hand, will be going home and sleeping in preparation for work tomorrow and trying not to have that image running through.
Actually, in all seriousness, I'm going to steal Batman Arkham Asylum from Raymer and go sit in my camping chair in front of my flat screen and play until I pass out.
That sounds equally as entertaining as the Lunesta.
Yeah, actually,
play.
That sounds significantly less fun. But that's what I'm actually going to do.
All right, what do you got going tonight, Felix?
I'm going to go to sleep.
Wonderful. That's what
it
I'm
is
doing.
Already 2 o'clock in
wow.
the morning.
We have dragged this out for, I got here at like 10:30. This has been a doozy.
Yeah, we really could have probably had this wrapped up like an hour and a half ago, and I've just been a doucher.
See, now it's getting to the point where he's testing the limits of what we can say on the air, because he knows that Raymer doesn't want to have to record this again. So before we get any further into his four-word vocabulary, I'm Alex Heichelbeck.
I'm Zach Newton.
And I'm Felix Peroni.
Tom Brady can suck a fat one.
Thanks for listening to Average Joe's Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes of Average Joes on iTunes or our website, ncdadodgeball.com. Until next time, just remember the 5 D's of dodgeball.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Bye-bye.